This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody?
Hey,
so glad you guys are here with us. Like Shelly said, we think this is the best hour of our week, and I'm glad we get to spend it together. So I made a commitment to myself. You guys do stuff like that? Kind of weird, strange. I've decided that I'm not going to talk about Kicks for Kids today because I will probably just start blubbering.
Right.
Lose it. And here I go, right, talking about Kicks for Kids. Such a cool thing. And probably I'll say this is the only thing I'll say about it. I'm most proud of the team of people that we've got that have kind of, you know, reached out and all the people who coordinate and reach out to people to take up donations. Listen, somebody asked me this week, is like, well, you take money from other churches? I was like, listen, we will take money from the Church of Satan to buy shoes for kids. I don't care where the money comes from. If you're a drug dealer, that's on you. You got to answer to God. We will take your money to buy shoes for kids. Everybody clear? So if you know bad people that need like something to clear their conscience, we'll take their money. And at any rate, our team is incredible. All of the people that have just kind of jumped in and helped make Kicks for Kids what it is, we are so thankful for you guys. So I want to continue. Got to re-rail what I derail. We're doing a series right now called Options. And so kind of the idea here is that our life is full of choices, right? Like every day. I mean, I would be curious to know what the number would be of how many decisions we make on a daily basis. I mean, thousands, maybe more than that. I don't know. It's just a bunch, right? Sometimes I think my mind makes this way too hard, right? Does anybody else do that? Like you just kind of overthink some things and you're like, well, what about this? And what if I did this? And what if I did this? Shut up and just do it, right? So as it relates to our relationship with Jesus and kind of following him and trying to live lives that are pleasing to him, I wanted to look at do a series that kind of lays out some of the options that we get to make. And here's, I guess, the most important thing is like we have an option. So one of the things, and again, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a theologian. I have a base level understanding of a lot of this stuff, right? There are people who are way smarter, and if you want to get into the weeds, like knock yourself out and do that. But my understanding is that we do have a free will. We get to choose. Like Jesus paid the price for our lives and for our sin. We have to choose to accept him into our lives and make him the Lord of our lives, right? So it's an option that we have to choose and to follow him. God doesn't make us do anything. God invites us into this life that he's created for us. See the difference, right? Okay, so if you want to get into, like I said last week, the sovereignty of God and, you know, we have agency and free will and all that stuff, like, go for it, right? There's a lot to it. But at the end of the day, I think you have to make a choice, and it's a decision that you make, and there are consequences either way, right? There are outcomes and consequences to every decision that we make. So that's where we started, is that, you know, the first and most important decision that we'll make is to follow Jesus. It's like he told, you know, Peter and Andrew, they're out there fishing, you know, casting, you know, spinner baits. I don't think they had those back then. They were probably throwing nets, right? So they were fishing, and Jesus basically was like, he invites them to follow him. He's like, will you follow me? And they did, and I think the question is the same for us. And the question is, will you follow me? Jesus asked us that same question. We have an option to decide. It's our choice what we do with that information, right? Right, good. And then last week, we kind of actually paralleled one of the options that we get that we are faced with in life. And it seems so obvious. You ever have those questions? I hate dumb questions. Does somebody like dumb questions just out of curiosity? Okay. If you do, I get it checked because something is off. Like, so I was telling somebody the other day, like, all questions are welcome, just not dumb questions, right? I love answering questions. It makes me feel like, oh, maybe I actually have some brain cells that are firing, right? This is good. But when you ask dumb questions, it just makes me feel dumber, right? Okay, are we clear? Everybody good? So this one seems pretty obvious in terms of options, and the options were, you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and it's like, hey, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. You choose. You decide. And we talked about all of that stuff last week. And this week, we're going to look at kind of, again, another, by comparison, the options that we get to choose. And being the month of Thanksgiving, I'm so glad you said that. Being the month that Thanksgiving is in, not the next holiday, which we will leave nameless at this point, right? Thanksgiving is this week. I figured it would be a very appropriate time to talk about being grateful, right? Having gratitude. And so we're going to talk about the option that we have to take things for granted, to take people for granted, to take for granted in general, or to have gratitude. So granted or gratitude. Anybody with me on that? The response was weak, so I was nervous, right? Granted or grateful. So let's talk about it. So isn't it ironic? This is just, and I'll leave it alone after this, I promise. Isn't it ironic how ungrateful we are for a holiday that's all about Thanksgiving? Based on everybody's like omission of that holiday and skipping to the one that comes after, seems like we have very little gratitude for a holiday that's all about Thanksgiving. I am here to let you know we celebrate turkey and all that other good stuff. Really, I don't even like turkey. I just like all the pies and stuff. I'm going to be real honest with you. Like the ham, I'd rather have ham than turkey. I don't know how turkey got such a good rap. It's dry, it's overrated. My opinion, right? But I come for the key lime pie. I'm not going to lie. And it rhymes. So thankful. Man, I'm so excited about this week. Hey, we're also having a potluck next week. Just throwing that out there, too. I'm not going to do that whole conversation anymore. So it's just important for us to understand there is power. We have control over the things, not necessarily the things that happen to us, our circumstances, but we have control over how we internalize what happens to us. It's a decision that we make in that moment. The circumstances around us, the situations that we're faced with, the people that are in our lives, we either express gratitude toward them, we are thankful for them, or we take them for granted. And it's an option, right? It is a choice that we make. We don't always choose what happens in our life, right? If you weren't here last week, I am 40 years old. 40. I'm a man. I'm 40, right? Shelly's birthday was on Friday. Happy birthday. Shelly also turned 40. She looks 29, but so which is a really awkward conversation when I tell people we've been married for 20 years, and they're like, she's 29, married 20 years. What? Right? But no, we got married when we were 12. It's cool. So we found out last week or 2 weeks ago, week and a half, whatever it was, that Shelly is pregnant. Right? Yeah. Not exactly what we had on the docket for the day, right? Not exactly how we planned. Like I told somebody, I was like, you know, it's like running a race, and I see the finish line, and I'm like, it's almost there, and I got disqualified. And I got to go back to the beginning and run the whole dadgum race again, right? So things happen sometimes that are out of our control, things that happen that we don't foresee, but we choose in the moment how we internalize that information. Are you going to take things for granted, or are you going to be gratified, gratitudinous, is that good? Anyway, so we don't always have control circumstances. We don't always have the things that we want, right? There are a lot of things that I want. Very little that I need, but a lot of things that I want. We don't always have the things that we want. And we know this for certain. You cannot control what other people do. Trust me, I've tried. Right? I thought, like, this idea of having kids, I was like, you know, if you have children, you control them. And you tell them what to do. And they do what you tell them to do. So obvious, right? That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. So we can't control what people do. So there are a lot of things that are out of our control, but the one thing, the constant that is in our control, that the ball is in our court, is that we have a response that we get to make. We choose. We're going to be grateful. We're going to have gratitude, or we're going to take people for granted. It kind of reminds me of a story that Jesus told. And I think it has to start, like, our understanding of gratitude and our understanding of, again, not being appreciative and taking people or things or circumstances for granted, really, it begins with our relationship with God. And so Jesus tells a story. We'll get into it because it's kind of long. It's really good. It's probably my favorite story that Jesus tells for whatever reason. So Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. I think I say that a lot. But this one's, like, for real, my favorite. Like, some of y'all have, like, best friends. By definition, you cannot have best friends. You can have a best friend. Best means best, right? One. So this is my favorite passage. No? Okay. Says this. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So it sets up the audience. The group of people that Jesus is talking to are people who are overly confident in their own ability, their own righteousness. They think that their goodness is a result of them and the things that they do. They think they are it. They think they're awesome. They think they're all that and a bag of tater chips. And so, which is such a weird thing that we say, right? Nobody says that anymore, do you? Everybody's like, no, it's bussin'. Okay, that's better. Verse 10, it says this, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So we have the audience. It's a group of self-righteous people who think they are better than other people. And when you think you're better than other people, you tend to take people and things for granted. Okay, so the two people in our story, one is a Pharisee who is super religious. They're the people who go to church and they let you know they go to church, but you can't see much else about their life that they go to church because they're just like jerks. They're rude. There's not a lot of love. There's a lot of rules, but there's not a lot of relationship, right? The difference there. And then the other one is a tax collector. And they felt the same way in Jesus' time about tax collectors that most of us do in modern times about tax collectors, right? The way I thought that was funny. You guys didn't. Y'all don't pay enough taxes, apparently, right? So the tax collectors, especially in Jesus' time, they were considered traitors because you were taking money from Jewish people and giving it to the Roman Empire. So not only were you taking money that I worked for, but you're also giving that to our enemy, the people who are dominating and controlling us. So these people were really, really despised. So those are the two characters that we have in the story. And so this is how the Pharisee presents himself. It says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Have you ever seen false gratitude, like fake gratitude? Like, God, I thank you. Like, he's expressing gratitude by saying thank you, but what he says after that kind of nullifies his thankfulness, right? So, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and then he kind of glances at the tax collector and he says, or even like this tax collector. What a jerk, right? Like, throwing shade, like, right in his face. And he says, I'm not even like this tax collector, and I thank you for that. He says, I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. So he's got all of the external things going on, right? He's going through the motions, but clearly there's a heart that's not right. So that's the Pharisee. That's our first character. Clearly there are some issues here, correct? Everybody see this? And if like that is your idea of what being a church person is, you have missed the mark entirely. And I think sometimes people do that. We think it's about the checkbox items that we go through. Oh, I went to church, check, so I can do whatever else I want for the rest of the week and forget about Jesus. And, you know, that's not how this thing works, right? Jesus is every part. He is everything. He is every part of our life. He is the reason that you wake up in the morning. He's the reason you take the next breath that you take. He's the reason that you just keep going when you don't feel like keep going, right? It's everything. It's not just like the Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday, all-day, every-day thing. So that's the Pharisee. And then the tax collector stands up, and it says this. The tax collector stood at a distance. Like, he didn't even feel worthy to approach, to come near and make his prayer known to the temple. It says this. So he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, so he's just pounding on his chest, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this was Jesus' response to these two guys, right? So one of them felt so unworthy, unqualified, and almost uninvited. Like, he didn't even come close because he just didn't feel like he was capable or worthy of coming close to the temple to pray to God. And Jesus' response is, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. What I think we see here in this passage are some options on display, right? I think that you see that there are options, obviously kind of the things that jump out and that are written. You choose humility or you choose arrogance, you choose pride, right? It's a choice that you make. But I also think kind of a byproduct of that is that you choose gratitude or you choose to take things and people for granted. The Pharisee was clearly at a place in his life where it would indicate that he thought he was something special, something better. And when you have an elevated sense of self, you're always going to think of people as pawns. When you think that you are everything and you have, again, kind of this sense of arrogance or entitlement, then you start to use people and you use things instead of, what's the old saying? I love the saying, it's not perfect, but it kind of makes sense, right? We use things and love people, not vice versa. right? And you see a lot of people who use people and love things, and their life is a wreck as a result of that. So he had an elevated view of himself, which always leads to a sense of entitlement. If you have a sense of entitlement, you think that people, things, and situations should always work in your favor, and so you take things for granted. You have a tendency to do that. On the other hand, you've got a guy who is a sinner. He knows that he's a sinner. He knows that he doesn't have it all together. He knows that he needs a savior to do for himself what he or do for him what he cannot do for himself. So his position, he starts from a place of humility. But when you start from a place of humility, it leads to gratitude. It always leads to the sense of appreciation and thankfulness when you start from a place of humility. And I think that's where a lot of people get it wrong. But we're not going to, well, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to it. It's going to be good. So he seems to be deeply appreciative of the mercy of God, right? So that's the thing that he's crying out for is God's mercy. And according to Jesus, right, this is the man that goes home justified. He gets it. He's very appreciative of it. So that's where it has to begin. It has to begin with your relationship with God. Like so taking for granted or expressing gratitude, that all begins in the way that you understand God, the way that you understand that, how God wants to work in your life and what that looks like. Because then what God does in you, he does through you. Right? So once you start to have a heart of gratitude, you start to have a mind that sees things from this perspective rather than seeing things from the perspective of what you can get and how you can leverage things and how you can leverage people, and you take things and use things and take for granted things. See the difference? It all begins with your relationship with Jesus. So once you get that right, then everything else kind of flows out of that relationship. An appreciation of God, what he's done for us, what he's promised to do for us, it will always lead to gratitude in other aspects of your life. Every time. It's kind of the same principle. Jesus said this. He's like, hey, if you've been forgiven much, then go and forgive much. Right? So what God does in us, what he's done in us, he then expects us to go and do for others. And here's what's cool. It's so easy. Once God's done it in you, it just naturally comes out of you. Once you've been forgiven of a lot, it's very easy for you to be tolerant of the mistakes of other people because you understand the mistakes that you made and how God forgave you of those. And if not, like, you're a grade-A jerk. I don't know how else to say. If you're one of those people who God has forgiven a lot, but you have a really hard time forgiving other people, like you are misappropriating the graciousness of God, right? Okay. Anybody else? All right. I need you guys to loosen up a little bit this morning. You're making me uncomfortable. That's a real word. So everything flows out of our relationship with God. If you've been forgiven much, you forgive much. The same principles at work. If you understand what God has done for you and you have a heart of gratitude, then that can be expressed into other areas of your life, right? You start to appreciate people. You start to appreciate things. You start to appreciate situations. Even if the situations aren't necessarily good, you don't just see them as a burden. You see them as an opportunity, right? Again, because of your relationship with God, you know that he works all of these things out for your good on your behalf. And so now difficult situations aren't just a pain. Their potential, right? There are things that can happen as a result of them that may not happen otherwise, right? So once you see this, it's a filter that you see things through, right? I know y'all know about filters. I've seen Snapchat. And like the cat thing, like that, I'll never understand some of the like the weird filter stuff. The dogs, that's old now. I don't know what else is. I don't know. I can't keep up. I'm going to end up like Bill Belichick and calling it like Snapface or something, you know, just mess it all up. So the same principle again is at work. And when this happens, God just causes us to see things differently. For example, people aren't just a nuisance. I mean, they are sometimes, but they aren't just a nuisance, but they're people that God has created, that God loves and that God wants to use. He loves them just as much as he loves you. And again, you have to understand him to understand that. Otherwise, people are just going to be on your nerves all the time. Shelly knows sign language, and so she taught me a few things. Isn't that nerves, like getting on my nerves? How's it go? You don't remember? I just love it. It's like, I don't even know if it's right, but in my head, I'm saying, you're getting on my nerves. And so Otherwise, people are just going to bother us and be a nuisance to us unless we view them from a place of gratitude where it's like, hey, God loves them just as much as he loves me. God has a plan for their life just like he has a plan for my life. Jesus died on the cross for them just like he died on the cross for me, right? And so it helps us to see people differently. And if you see them with just a little bit of gratitude, it makes this whole thing a lot easier. Otherwise, it's going to be tough. I told Shelly, we went to Dallas on Friday or Mesquite. Traffic was stupid. I think hell is going to be I-20. I'm just convinced of it. Like rush hour I-20, and that's hell for eternity. I don't want none of it, man. Whatever I got to do to get as far away from that is that's what I need to do. And so, and I don't even know why that's irrelevant, but I just felt like bringing that up. No, actually, I was just thinking about how frustrating it was. And so, again, these things, these situations that happen, you can be angry about it or you can find something to be thankful about. I'm thankful we didn't have a wreck. How about that? There's your gratitude. So seeing people through this lens helps us to choose gratitude rather than taking things for granted. So let's break each of these down quickly so that, you know, we can move on with our lives. That's what we like to do, right? So the first one, let's talk about taking for granted. I thought about calling this point like, you know, the genie in a bottle or something because I grant you 3 wishes, and I was trying to make weird connections, and I was like, no, they're weird. They're going to think of like Christina Aguilera, right? Was it genie in a bottle? I'm like, that is not where we're going with this. So instead, I just call it granted. We're just going to be super vanilla today. So that's what you get. So to take things, people, or God for granted seems to me to be a result of pride. To take things, to take people, or to take God for granted seems to me to be a result of pride in our lives, right? So if I'm taking someone for granted, it seems to be that I have an elevated view of myself, right? I have a greater confidence or worth in myself. I'm placing myself above them if I take them for granted, correct? If I have situations or things that I take for granted, again, it's like, well, I deserve this, so I should get this, right? And so it's elevating yourself. It comes from a sense of pride. Obviously, in your relationship with God, if you take God for granted, it's, again, thinking that, well, maybe I deserve more than everybody else gets because, well, I'm me, and so we take God for granted. And all of those are, again, a result of pride. Nobody likes to talk about that, right? Sometimes you think, and this is a blanket statement. This is not, somebody said the other week, it's like, I swear you just preached to me. And they were kind of upset about it. I'm like, no, fool. I don't even know you, first off. And secondly, I'm just preaching to myself and I'm sharing the suffering with you guys. Like, that's how this works, right? This is for me. And I'm just sharing my misery with everyone. These are the things that God deals with me about. And I just want you to go through it with me, okay? This is a glorified counseling session is all it is. So sometimes you think you deserve what you have. Anybody, right? We think we deserve what we have. And if we were being really honest, we really don't have what we deserve. And it's not in a way that we think, right? So according to my understanding of Scripture, every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us are a sinner. And the result of that is a separation from God, right? That's not what we want, but that's what we actually deserve. But God is so gracious that he doesn't give us what we deserve. And so we need to stop looking at the world and our lives from this place of, well, I deserve this. I earned this. I work for this. And my favorite is, I'm going to get mine. You may not know about that, but it's a thing, right? Now, so here's where we're at with that. Like, okay, let's say that you do work really hard. Congratulations. You've got a body that God gave you and breath that God created for you and opportunity that God opened up to you. So all that you have, even though you worked for it, it's not a result of anything that you've really done. You are a steward of what God, you have stewarded well, but you don't deserve it. On the other hand, sometimes, so we think we deserve what we do have. Sometimes we think we deserve what we don't have, like most people under 30, generally, blanket statement, right? And I was just as guilty of this as anyone. It's like, well, I want the same opportunities that my parents have, right? Even though they've been working for 30 years at that point, right? It's like, well, I'm 20. I should have a, you know, $250,000 house. That makes sense, right? They have a nice house. Why can't I have a nice house? And so there's sometimes this thing happens where we think we deserve things that we don't deserve, right? And that's called entitlement. So you believe yourself either way to be more important than others, which would lead you to take them for granted. It's just this, again, it comes from a place of pride. And so with arrogance, and again, I know nobody in this room struggles with stuff like this. This is for other people in other churches and other parts of the world. With arrogance comes an expectation, generally unrealistic, right, that things and people are there for your leveraging. Right? Again, an elevated sense of self, an elevated sense of you know, what your worth is. Now, you are worth Jesus dying on the cross for, right? So what your worth is what somebody is willing to pay for you. Jesus paid the ultimate price, but he paid the ultimate price for everyone. So we can't elevate ourselves above other people, correct? Right, got that, right? So with this arrogance comes this expectation that things and people are there for your leveraging. And it usually leads, the problem is that it usually leads, in a subtle way, it leads to manipulation, right? Because, well, I deserve this, and I'm better than them, so I'm going to manipulate them to get from them what I want from them. Or in a more overt sense, it's like kind of almost abusive, right? Not physically abusive, but manipulatively abusive. Abusive. Golly, that's a good one. Manipulatively abusive. There we go. So it's in a more overt sense, you just take advantage of people. Do you want to know how to kind of, as a litmus test for the level of taking for granted and maybe pride and arrogance in your life, look at your deep, meaningful relationships, the length of them and the quality of them, right? If people cycle through your life just all of the time, if none of your relationships last very long or are very good, odds are you don't appreciate people like you should and you take advantage of them. So people don't stay where they're not appreciated. Facts. Okay, so it's a result. Also, so that's the first part. I think taking for granted comes from a sense of pride, but it also is a result of not having an appropriate level of appreciation, which we kind of just led into. And I think the most obvious example of this you see is in relationships when there's not appreciation. I think marriages are probably the most clear picture of this. When you see a marriage where there isn't appreciation, one spouse doesn't appreciate the other spouse, or you know, vice versa, or they both don't appreciate each other, it leads to erosion and toxicity. Every time, as soon as somebody comes into your presence or you start having a conversation and they start talking about their spouse negatively, man, just first off, shut it down. Man, I don't want to hear that. Like, have you talked to them about that? I don't know why you're talking to me about that. I don't really want to hear it. I am not a counselor. In fact, I am probably the worst person to talk to when it comes to counseling, because my response, whether I get to say it or not, because I have to be tactful, because, you know, pastors aren't allowed to tell the truth. Sometimes y'all just want people to lie so you can hear what you want to hear. But so my response is, like, when it comes to counseling, I'm usually like, just, well, suck it up. You know, I mean, it sucks. It sucks to suck, too. So stop doing what you're doing. That's dumb. Knock it off. Don't come to me if you want counseling advice. I'm gonna overcharge you and underperform. Every time. That's my marketing for my counseling. So I don't even have counseling services. I am not a counselor. Everybody clear? Are we good on that? Somebody's like, can we do like pre-marriage counseling? I'm like, no, absolutely not. No. There are good people that do stuff like that, and I am not one of them. Jeez. So in relationships, when there is a lack of appreciation, it leads to kind of just this erosion of the quality of the relationship. It ultimately leads to toxicity in a relationship. Has anybody ever seen anything like that? Right? Has anybody made it through a week recently without seeing anything like that? Right? So it's just so common. And to me, man, it's really, really simple. If you want to change some of that, stop taking people for granted and start expressing gratitude for the things that they do. The second that you are more focused on what you bring to the relationship and you have no awareness of what they bring to the relationship, you are headed for destruction. I mean, it's quick too, right? Because the second you get in your head about how good you are and all that you bring to the relationship, and you're so quick to point out all of the flaws that they have and all of the things that they don't bring to the relationship, it's a nuclear bomb, and you are punching in the code, and that sucker is about to go off. Or they will go off on you. Did you not? Okay. So when the focus is more on what you do, and you're not aware of what they do, you are heading towards taking them for granted, which will ultimately lead to destruction. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, it says this. Make sure, and I have been clear for a very long time. I don't care about the Message Bible, but I use the Message Bible on this one because it says it so well. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, it probably isn't even what it says, but the Message changes what it says and makes it say what we want it to say. I'm just kidding. It says this, make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. And I think there's a really interesting correlation here about not being self-focused and taking things for granted, right? Share what you have with others, talking about working for the common good. Don't be a slacker when it comes to working for the common good. And all of that stuff helps us to not take things and people and situations for granted when we're others focused. But if you're inwardly focused, if you're only concerned about you and what you can get and what you have, then you're going to take things, people, and ultimately, I think you'll take God for granted as well. So if that's where you're at, here's my counseling for the day. Knock it off. Is that helpful?
Good.
I'm going to start a service called Black and White Counseling. Right? I'm going to give it to you. We're not going to fluff it. You're not going to get an hour. You're going to get about 10 minutes, maybe. Tell me your problem, and I'm going to tell you to suck it up and get over it and go on about business. How about that? I'm just kidding. I understand there's more than that, and I'm just making very light of a not light thing. Okay? So even in our accumulation of things, it's not just about us, but it's about sharing with others. And again, so that's how we avoid taking things for granted. And so I think, kind of again, what we started with is that every option has a consequence or every option has an outcome. As it relates to this particular option of taking things, people, and God for granted, there is an outcome for it as well. Let me be clear. You may find temporary advantages to taking people for granted, right? Because you're using them, right? So you can probably get what you want in that instant or in that season. There may be some short-term advantages for taking things, people, and situations for granted, but we have to play the long game, right? We're in this like for our lives, and we want our lives to be a legacy and not a legacy of abusing and misusing and manipulating people, right? So we have to play the long game, and the long game is if you find somebody who is perpetually taking people for granted, what you find is that they burn every bridge in their lives, right? And again, it kind of comes back to that. If there's not long-term relationships in someone's life, it is a red flag about the quality of their relationship ability, right? So, and on top of that, also, I think you'll live a rather unsatisfied life. You see so many people who are just not content, so they generally try to fill these holes. They put what I call a band-aid on a gaping wound, which usually doesn't work, right? So you live very dissatisfied with your life because you're never satisfied with the things that you have, so you're just constantly, like, adding more things. And if we hadn't figured out up to this point that things don't really satisfy, I mean, you need some help. If you hadn't figured out, because, dog, we've done this. Like, how many new things have we bought, and we love the new thing for about 30 seconds, and then, like, you know, much quicker than that sometimes, and, like, immediately we're over the new thing, and we're ready for another new thing. And it feels good for just a little bit, but it's not something to really kind of, you know, invest in terms of your heart and all of that stuff. So you're setting yourself up for disaster when you do this, because if you think you get what you deserve, then what happens when something bad happens in your life? Isn't it interesting that the people who think that, well, I deserve this, and I earned this, and I work for this, well, then if that's the case, then the bad stuff that happens in your life, you need to take credit for that too. But we're so quick at that point, we're like, well, but God, I don't know why God did that, even though, I mean, I work for all the good stuff, but God is responsible for the bad stuff. Interesting. So that's the granted part, taking for granted. Let's talk about gratitude. Gratitude is such a fun word. And I was on my way. This was stuff that wasn't even really part of the message. And I was driving in this morning, and I was thinking about gratitude. And I was like, gratitude is an attitude. Just like, I got to say that because it rhymes and it sounds so good. But it is. It's gratitude is an attitude, right? It's the way that you present yourself, think about things, the emotional awareness that you have, the expression of those emotions. Gratitude is an attitude. And then I was like, gratitude is also currency. Like, all of these random thoughts I'm driving in this morning, this is what happens when I drive. So if you guys, everybody's like, I see you driving down the road, you look angry. I'm like, I'm thinking. That's really hard for me. I'm just like, You know, and I'm like, for one, if you'd stop watching Netflix and you watch The Road and not worry about me, we might be better off. But that's another story, right? Okay? So leave me alone. So if I'm driving, I'm listening, and I'm thinking, as I was thinking about all these things, I was like, gratitude is currency. And it's kind of like this idea, currency, what do we use currency for? We exchange currency, right, for benefits, services, goods, whatever the case may be. And I think gratitude, man, like if you're giving it out, it's going to come back to you. If you're sharing that with other people, if you're sharing in however or whatever form that takes, if you're sharing that, it comes back to you. Those were all free. They were not part of our notes. So gratitude is an attitude, and gratitude is also currency. So taking for granted is born from a place of arrogance and pride, but gratitude is born from a place of humility. I saw a quote this week that I thought was really good. Again, completely unrelated, but I thought it was really good. And it says that the substructure of transformation is humility. The substructure of transformation. Like, if you want change in your life, you want good things to happen in your life, then you have to start from this place of humility. You'll never change if you think you're too good to change, right? So transformation, or humility is a substructure of transformation. So gratitude is born of humility. It comes from this place of realizing, like the guy in our story, that you don't have it all together. That you don't have it all figured out, that you aren't everything, have everything, and everything that happens to you is a result of how good you are, how awesome you are, how hard you work, or whatever the mentality may be. It's understanding that we, again, are, like I said, are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So that's where gratitude is born. It's born from a place of humility. It also leads to a greater sense of appreciation for those that are around us, the things that come into our hands, understanding that every person and everything is a gift from God is a result of humility and results in gratitude. I'm going to say that one more time because it was really good and it didn't elicit the response that I hoped that it would. After I get a drink. It says, understanding that every person and everything is a gift from God as a result of humility and results in gratitude. Like we won't see people right. We won't see situations. We won't see what we get from the right perspective without humility. But if we see it from the right perspective with a heart of humility, with eyes of humility, then we can have a greater sense of gratitude. We can have a greater sense of appreciation. So humility results in gratitude. Gratitude also comes from an understanding of the graciousness or the grace of God. There is a direct correlation between gratitude and grace. Once you understand grace, you know what grace is by definition. The Greek word is charis, and it's unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can never repay it. You don't work for it. It is given to you in spite of you, right? Can I get irritated for a minute? I get so irritated with like kind of these religious ideas that you are working for or earning God's attention, favor, or grace. You cannot. You are not good enough. None of us are good enough. We are incapable of producing those kind of results and righteousness on our own. Jesus was the only one to do that. And to think that you are capable of earning the grace of God is you are posturing yourself right next to Jesus. And homie, I don't think you want to be there. Because, you know, he died on a cross and everything. So unless you're willing to do that too, you better knock it off. Okay, that's my advice from here on out. Just knock it off. And so there is just this direct link. There's a direct correlation between understanding grace and the graciousness of God and gratitude. You go back to the Old Testament, and it's kind of the blessing that the priests would give to the people is that the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you. And once we start to understand that our lives are just a reflection of the graciousness of God, that every morning that we wake up is a gift from God, that the air that we breathe is a gift from God, that the sun that we soak in, the trees that we get to experience, the job that you get to go to, I didn't say have to, you get to go to. You have the capability to work, and there are a lot of people that don't have that. There are a lot of people in the world who don't have the opportunities that you have, so it is a gift extended to you from the graciousness of God. So everything that we have is a result of the graciousness of God. And once you start to understand grace, then it gives you just a greater sense of gratitude. I'm real fat. I love gifts. I love, and they don't have to be big gifts, man. If you buy me some anything gummy, I'm like a stray dog. I'll just keep coming back. I'm gonna keep coming around. You just got a friend for life. I love gifts. I'm not asking for anything. Just so we are all clear, this is just communicating. I love if somebody knows my drink, my favorite drink, and they bring me my favorite drink, which really there's two: coffee, obviously black, nothing in it. Leave it alone. Don't adulterate it. It's good, right? If you bring me coffee or a blue low carb monster, you're my best friend. Like best friend, not best friends. Like you are my best friend in the entire world. I love you forever and ever. I'm like a dog, like legit. Just you give me a snack or treat and you got it. I'm here. What do you need? I'll wag my tail. Cool. I love gifts. And once we start to view our life, it's full of gifts, right? It's full of these gifts from God because of the graciousness of God. It says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Like God is the one who gives them. It just gives us this really, really deep sense of appreciation for what we have. It changes everything. Like it changes those children who some days are rugrats. They are gifts from God, right? And when you start to view them as such, it changes things. That job with that person in that office next to you. I know you've had a job where you've had that person in the office or the space next to you, and you're just like, they're aliens. Like, they cannot be real. Like, you couldn't possibly be a human being and be as dumb as you are. Some of y'all know, some of y'all don't. If you don't know, it might be you. So that job that you're just not like super pumped about, it's a gift from God. And what you can produce as a result of that is a gift from God. And we just see things so differently when we see it from this place of understanding the graciousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Again, connecting grace and gratitude. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase. Can you guys read that? Thanksgiving. When I pause like that, generally there's like a fill in the blank opportunity. Let's try that again. So as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase. Okay, another word for that would be gratitude, right? So there is this connection between grace and gratitude, and it says, to the glory of God, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The grace and gratitude, grace and gratitude. One more thing on grace, actually several more things on grace, but I'm gonna move really quickly, right? Gratitude is not really gratitude unless it's expressed. I don't care how gratuitous you are in your heart. Let me ask you a question. If you went to a restaurant and you had a server that did a fantastic job, and at the end of the night, you're like, I am so thankful for you, but you didn't leave them a tip. How do you think they would feel about your gratitude and your gratuity towards them, right? It would be, it's the same thing. Like, if you're so thankful in your heart, let it get out of your heart and into your mouth. Like, share, express your gratitude with other people. Otherwise, it doesn't have the potency that it could and should if you don't express it and share it. Last idea here, let's talk about the outcome of living a life of gratitude. It's vastly different than that of taking for granted. When you live a life of gratitude, first thing, obviously, I think depth in your relationships. People are drawn to people who appreciate them. And for me personally, and I know you probably feel the same way, like I like being around people who appreciate me. I do not care for people who do not appreciate me. I just don't like it, and I'm sure you don't either, and I'm sure they don't either. So let's be people who appreciate so that everybody can appreciate all of our appreciation, right? And so I think the deeper relationships is the first thing that you'll find. Again, people are drawn to them. And when you're drawn to people like that, like you develop these bonds that just help you go through more together. Like you just have this care and concern for each other because of your gratitude towards each other that helps you go through more together, right? And then I think also the last thing is that, and I think I've said the last thing about 5 times, but that's okay, right? I also think that a life of greater contentment is a result of gratitude. Like, man, we've seen what it looks like to not be appreciative of all the things that we have. We have more things than we've ever had in the history of the world. we talked about, I think a few weeks ago, like storage buildings and like how that is an industry that is exploding because we have this accumulation of stuff that we can't even fit it in our houses. So then we buy storage buildings that we put on our lots that we fill up, and then we can't even, and that's not enough to accommodate our accumulation. So then we have to go rent storage buildings because we have more stuff. And here's the thing, like more stuff is never going to satisfy. Appreciation of what you do have is what will lead to a deeper sense of contentment and satisfaction. It's a hamster wheel. Otherwise, you're just going to keep accumulating and accumulating, and you're never going to be satisfied, and you're never going to have a sense of contentment. A deep and profound sense of peace comes with gratitude. So those are our options, right? You can take for granted, or you can have gratitude, but it's not enough just to have gratitude. You have to express that gratitude. Do you know what I've noticed about gratitude? Sometimes it works in reverse order. Like, I think the thought is it starts on the inside and then we express that, and I think that is very true. But I think sometimes if you start to express it, then you'll start to feel it. Like, sometimes you got to say it even when you don't really feel it, and if you say it enough, then you start to feel it. Like, I've done this in my life where I'll tell somebody that I'm appreciative or thankful for what they do, and I'm really not. Okay, y'all don't do me like that, because I know you do the same thing, right? And I'm really not, like, I have an expectation that they didn't meet, but at least I can be appreciative of what they did do. And then when you start to do that, you just kind of, again, it just shifts your perspective. You are thankful for what they do, what they bring to the table, and you stop projecting all of these unrealistic expectations on people to do things that you aren't willing to do yourself. Okay? All right, let me pray for us. God, you are so good, and we're so thankful for your love for us. We're so thankful that you have demonstrated to us what love is. God, I pray that as a response to that, that we will just have this deep sense of thankfulness and gratitude. Jesus, we're so thankful that you were willing to come to the earth to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for our sins, to demonstrate to us what love is. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. And that's what you did, and we are so thankful for it. God, I pray that that appreciation doesn't just stop with you or doesn't just stay between us, but we share that with other people. God, help us to be people of gratitude. God, help us to be thankful for each other, for our differences, for the things that we go through, for our struggles. Help us to be thankful for this community. Help us to be thankful for all of your blessings, and everything in our life is a gift from you. God, help us to see it from that perspective, so that we can live lives of gratitude.